Gabby, could you give a roll call again?
Yes, sure. We have Hiro Hotta, Paulus Miranda, Sieva Sashahani, Bart Boswinkle, and myself, and someone just joined. Hello?
Hello. Dejan here.
Ah, hello, Dejan. So we've got Dejan as Jukid as well.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's start. So I just sent a proposed agenda to the mailing list. So let's start the agenda approval first. But I noticed that several hours ago, Savas posted his recent thought on one vote per territory issue. So I'd like to put this topic between agenda item 2 and 3. The title of this agenda item may be confirmation of interim paper. So any further discussion on agenda? Okay, if it's okay, let's start the agenda item 2. It's the action points from the last call. I understand that basically there are two action items in the last call. The first one is that BART is to prepare a formal note of the closure of the public comment period. Such a note was already posted to the public forum page on February 18th. So it's done?
Yes, and
the second one is that BART is to draft a so-called issue identification report. BART sent the draft to the mailing list yesterday, and I also forwarded it along with the agenda today, so it's also done. So all the action items have been done so far. So any comment on the action points? Okay, so let's move to the content. So first one is the newly added agenda item. As far as I understand, Savas said in his mail that one vote per registry is better than one vote per territory when we think about Minnesota's independence from the GIAC. I believe we need to consider this topic from two kinds of aspects. The first one is whether we agree with his opinion or not. And the second one is, in case we agree with his opinion, how we can put this change into the interim paper, even after we saw public's agreement, although it's a silent agreement, on one vote per territory. So to start our discussion, I'd like to invite Savas to tell us about your thoughts. Savas? Savas, are you with us?
He said he. I just got email. He got disconnected, so I have to ask the operator to reconnect him. Oh, he's dialing back to him now.
Okay, let's wait for 1 minute. Okay, in the meantime, BART?
Yeah.
I put down agenda item number 3, update from working group 1.
Yeah.
I think you can explain about the working group 1 discussion when we come to that agenda item. And
yes,
I think we should discuss this in this call.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, as stated, it's a follow-up from our prior call. say, in early February.
Okay.
So just the, to let you know, the operator is dialing, but she wasn't lucky with the first number, so she's trying another one.
Okay.
So maybe Hiro, maybe I can provide the update, because I think Shervaz is on the...
He's joining now. Now Shervaz is back.
This is Shervaz. I rejoined. I got disconnected.
Okay. Shervaz, it's your turn. Okay. To start our discussion on new thought, I'd like to invite you to tell us about your thought. Shervaz?
New thought? Oh, I did send something to the list.
Yes.
Did you see that? Yeah, I was just, you know, the new thought was, you know, I've been thinking about this, and, you know, I thought that maybe we should have more discussion on this. Either here on the list or in this telephone meeting, or maybe in a CCNSO meeting or whatever, you know. I think there are some points, you know, to be discussed about this. I'm having my doubts about, you know, one territory, one vote, and I explained why.
Okay. Did everyone read his email about his opinion?
Yes, I did at least. But
yes, I did.
Yes. Carlos?
It's a holiday here, so no, I didn't get that email. Maybe I could just get a bit of background onto it.
Hmm.
All right, so I think, Shervaz, could you tell us about your idea in short?
Okay, now, early in these telephone calls, we discussed whether we should have one vote, one member, or whether we should have one vote per territory. And I guess it was, most of us were in favor of having one vote per territory, because that seemed to make more sense. We were thinking of things like, for example, if India had 12, you know, official languages, then it could potentially have 12 members, and we thought that this would, you know, create a lack of balance in the CCNSO. One member pointed out that, well, this is not the United Nations. We don't have to have one vote, one country. Yeah, I guess we didn't pay much attention to that. And so we went ahead with the idea of one vote per territory or per ASCII two-letter code. Now, I guess what I'm, you know, what makes me worry about these days is that GAC is becoming more powerful, and making CCNSO votes correspond to GAC membership sort of makes CCNSO subservient to GAC in a way. And I'm a little worried about that, because, you know, eventually this seems, it looks to me like CCNSO will just become the technical arm of GAC. And I sort of think, you know, I'm not absolutely decided on this, but, you know, I'm still thinking about it loud. But I sort of think that it's a good idea to have some kind of, you know, having one vote per IANA code, in other words, makes CCNSO more independent of geographic and political divisions. So this is, you know, the gist of what I would say.
Shava, this is Bart. This is just a question. So I do understand, say, the argument of not turning the CCNSO in say, into the UN type of things, but say that there are, so that's more internally focused. But I don't understand the relation between voting within the CCNSO, and if you look carefully where the votes are, where voting is important, how that could change the balance between the GAC and the CCNSO.
Well, what I'm saying is that the idea is that you have the same, some kind of correspondence. GAC membership involves countries or territories.
Yeah.
And a CCNSO would involve the same thing. You know, what, I guess the factors that affect me, one is this correspondence between GAC and CCNSO. The other one is the difficulties we are encountering in setting up voting scheme. You know, you have this fractional or staggered voting, as you said, and you also have this idea of asking the territory to designate, and each of these has its problems.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, I see the problems on both sides, but you know, I don't think we should be too afraid of, you know, some countries having more than one vote, because if there are separate operators, CCNSO is just a place for different operators to exchange views. It's not a place where, you know, different nationalities compete for votes, in a sense. So what's the problem? I don't see any problem with Spain having two votes because España has a tilde, or maybe India. I don't think it's going to happen that India will have, you know, 12 members of CCNSO within, you know, the next few years. But even if they do, and if these are different entities, they have different problems, you know. And so I don't see why there should be a correspondence with territories, really, except for historical reason that originally CCs were made to correspond to two-letter codes. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the strongest argument for it.
Yes, and it's currently... Sorry?
Hello, Paolo?
Yes? Paolo?
I think that many African countries would have a problem with France having 10 votes since it, for example, runs many CCPLDs. I think that there are some cases which would raise quite a bit of concern.
Well, anyway, I thought I should point out this thought, and I think it's worth, you know, discussing it in a forum like CCNSO, and just air the opinion. You know, I'm not myself absolutely decided one way or the other. I'm just saying that we should give more thought to this.
May I make a...
I understand that countries, most European countries, will just have one vote because they, most of them, may not opt for some kind of IDN, separate IDN, country code. But I don't think this is going to put them at disadvantage, because first of all, Europeans are well represented in the CCNSO already, and I just don't think this is going to be a forum for, you know, national competition. Anyway, so I just, you know, thought I'd share this idea.
Hello?
Hi, it's Giovanni. John? I finally made it.
Hi, Giovanni.
Okay, Giovanni.
Hi, Iro.
Giovanni.
Hi, Gabriella. Hi, Cristina. Thanks for the help with the operator. I managed now to get dialed the Italian. One of the Italian numbers is now working.
Okay.
Giovanni, we're discussing, I don't know if you've seen it, Shava's notes from this morning.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, And so Shabbat gave an explanation of, say, his views and what changed his views.
Yeah.
Hiro, over to you again.
Yeah. Okay. I think I have my personal opinion, of course, but Shabbat, the proposal is to for us to discuss this further before fixing our interim paper, or our last report. Is it correct?
No, my suggestion is to just include this as one of the possible, proposals. I'm not insisting on it, and I don't necessarily want to take the time now at this meeting to discuss it. You know, it was just a thought, and I thought, at least we should share this with CCNSO.
Mm. Okay.
And others about,
Shabbat, will you be in San Francisco?
I think Siavash just dropped off the line, so the operator is dialing him back.
Hiro, may I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
As you know, there will be a meeting on all IDN-related topics either on Monday afternoon or on Tuesday, depending on how the agenda will be affected by the GEC board meeting.
Yes.
And the working group is scheduled to meet on Thursday again.
Right.
May I suggest that this is one item that we discuss further with the community on, say, the public meeting of the working group and drill this down, because this is, I think, a very fundamental debate, and we need probably some more guidance, or the working group needs more guidance on the preferred option, how to deal with voting.
Just to let you know, Siavash is back online now.
Yeah, I'm just back. I was disconnected for a while.
Will you be in San Francisco?
Yes, I will be.
Okay. My suggestion would be to take this, I think, because you reflect some of the thinking within the CCNSO probably as well, in the CCTLD community, is that we use the opportunity of, say, in principle, say, the IDN session, the CCNSO meeting, where the working group is presenting as well, to reflect on this topic again with the CCTLD community.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
And then, based on that discussion and the outcome of that discussion and the feedback the working group receives, revisit this again at the working group meeting on Thursday morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was the time scheduled when, based on the previous call, that we said we would go on finalizing the interim report and see if we can come up with recommendations.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so in order to make to flesh this out, probably what I suggest is we take some, say, revisit this topic in the sense of describing some of the more in detail the benefits and the costs of each of these options, and present that to the CCTLD community and seek their feedback.
Right.
Because this is as you will see in say the document I've sent around, say these are the voting mechanisms are also very relevant in some of the rules and the guidelines.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'll see if I can prepare. I'll see if I can prepare a short PowerPoint on the two sides of the matter.
Yeah.
And you know.
And share it so we
if
can.
If I do, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, and maybe we add some more so it's very clear what are the disadvantages and advantages of some of the options.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And Bart or Gabby, how many minutes do we have in San Francisco meeting for working group two?
The IDN working group one will take only say 10-15 minutes, and then the study group. So if it's not definitely defined. So if this working group wants half an hour, it probably can get half an hour.
All right. So it means that I need to talk with the program working group.
No.
Right?
No.
No.
This is say the program working group has allocated already 1.5 hours, I believe, for the IDN sessions.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that includes updates from Working Group 1 and Working Group 2. It includes a review of the fast track process, and it includes a part of the country and territory name study group. But say the country and territory name study group is very limited.
Okay.
As will be IDN working group
It's from Monday from 6 till 5:30, so if it overruns, it overruns. It's the last session that day, so yeah, it's no problem if it lasts half an hour longer.
And
okay.
And so you are aware, potentially, we may move this session to the Tuesday afternoon because there is... It's questionable currently whether there will be a GAC CCNSO meeting due to the GAC board meeting.
Mm.
And that's unclear when they are scheduled. So unfortunately, it's still changing.
Okay. So,
but
same anyway.
Principle, it's on Monday afternoon.
Okay. Okay, anyway, I think I can be optimistic on this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, as Bart proposed and Shavash agreed, do others agree to put this topic on the San Francisco meeting agenda? Is it okay?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So let's do so.
And so that's one, and we put it on the, and I suggest you put it on the working group agenda as well, again.
Right. Okay. So any other comments or opinions on this item about the one vote per territory issue?
No.
If not, let's move to the next agenda item, which is update from Working Group 1. We discussed a bit in the last call whether we should wait for Working Group 1's solution on variant CCTLDs or not. And last week, as you may know, ICANN called for public comments regarding variant TLDs, and also last week, Working Group 1 had a conference call and discussed about this issue. So, Bart, could you explain about the Working Group 1 discussion?
Yes, the working group one discussions. There are, in fact, two items were discussed. One is less relevant for this working group, but it has to do with, currently under the current overall policy and under the fast track, countries and territories are only eligible for one name in a designated or official language. Now, it is unclear what happens with other names. Say, the best example I know is, for instance, you've got, under the fast tracks, you've got .rf in Cyrillic, but .russia in Cyrillic would qualify as well. However, the choice of Russia was for .rf. So it's unclear what the status of .russia in Cyrillic is. And so that's one topic. And the working group one decided to ask the country name study group to take this into consideration as well and come up with a suggestion how to deal with it. Should there be something under the overall policy? Should there be a recommendation to the new GTLD process, etc.? Because otherwise you might end up with the situation that .rf in Cyrillic is a CCTLD, but .russia in two or 3 years' time, with the second round of new GTLDs, .russia and Cyrillic could be applied for under the new GTLD process. So that's a bit unclear. So that's one. The second point, and that is far more interesting for this working group as well, is given the idea, say the working group one is of the opinion that that the overall policy principles have been or are acceptable to the community and have been discussed within the working group. The main elephant in the room is right now is IDN variants and how to deal with them. And given that, say, the board has initiated this IDN variant project, and it will take some time before they come up with an overview of the issues in the different scripts, it is the idea that, say, for this period, the IDN working group one will go into a state of hibernation. So it will, sleep. Now, the question is, and that is that was the suggestion from working group one, is that working group two will continue its work in order to include IDN CCTLDs as soon as possible. And the basic idea is that although IDN variants may have some impact in time, there are already quite a lot of IDN CCTLDs who have been delegated and more are pending delegations, and they can't go anywhere within the ICANN community. They can't apply for they can't join the GNSO, and probably they don't want to. And the CCNSO is, which is probably the natural home for the IDN CCTLDs, is not working. They can't apply for membership yet. They can join the meetings, but that's something different than being eligible to apply for membership. So the idea is that Working Group 2 will continue its work and finish it as soon as possible. So that's more or less that were the main points of the Working Group 1 call on the 24th of February.
Okay, thank you. In summary, the Working Group 1's consensus so far is Working Group 1 will wait for the variant issue solved. But working group 2 may continue its work and conclude its work before working group 1. Is it correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think working group 2, as a working group 2, we should discuss this. And we should make up our mind to move forward without the variant issue. And when variant issue is solved, we will revisit it to work on that. So anything?
I have a question.
This? Yes, please.
Paulos here. I wanted to know if Council has a say on this. Does Council have a say on how this goes ahead?
Yes, because this is the proposal from Working Group 1, and what will need to happen is if Working Group say there were just a few people on the call. First of all, the Working Group 1 needs to agree on this. If that happens, there will be a proposal to the Council to split the two things. I say the final say is with the Council.
Okay.
Because they, just to explain to the others, say the Council initiated the PDP, and what this in fact means is that the PDP will be split into separate ones. One will continue, so both will continue but on a separate track, and they now combined into one.
All right. So,
but
is my understanding correct? Which is proposal to the Council should be made jointly by Working Group 1 and Working Group 2.
That's true, and in fact, say you should report back to the Issues Manager. I will propose it to the Council.
I see.
Issues Manager. I have to propose it back to the Council.
Okay. So may I propose that we discuss briefly on this call, and then we should collect other members who are not here, members' opinion, and then give the result to the issue manager, which is Bart. Is it okay? Okay, so
yes.
Do you have any discussions now on this issue? If not now, I will forward the question to this mailing list, to Working Group 2 mailing list, to ask your opinion. And I hope the result will be decided in 1 week.
Yep.
Is the timeline okay, Bart?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. So I will do it.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. So let's move to the next item, which is our main part, the changes to the rules and guidelines. Bart drafted an issue identification report that shows how rules of the CCNSO document is affected by the bylaw change. So, Bart, could you walk through the draft explaining the points?
Yes, I will do it. I'll open the document. And I'm sorry for some of the typos. Unfortunately, yeah, we've got wrong version, I see. Okay, what I've done, say, the previous, I will resend a version just after this call. I went through the rules and through some of the guidelines, say, in the previous version I sent to the working group, I had some comments, as I did, say, the first time we went through the bylaws themselves, and tried to identify areas which need to be discussed or which may be affected by changes in the bylaws as in the, under the current interim report. So, excuse me. If you look at it, say, it is the membership definitions and what is a concern. This membership definition directly reflects the refers to the membership definitions in the bylaws. So you see all the arguments we have with regard to the interim or to the bylaws definitions are reflected in this one. The second one is paragraph or section 3 on quorum, and the here are in fact two issues in my view. One is the quorum rule itself, again 50% of total membership, and this reflects the discussion we just had on whether it's one vote per territory or whether it's total membership, and you see some impact there. And the second one, and that's probably a new one, at least two members per ICANN region. So again, this is, you could argue this is could be two members from the same territory, or should it be two territories per ICANN region, as say that's the way it currently works. So there are two separate issues here. And I've also included some proposed solutions, but that's probably for the working group to discuss further in say at its meeting in San Francisco. If you look at resolutions, and this is membership resolutions, so first one is reflecting the definition or the resolutions under the policy development process. Again, this is this will be, if we change or propose to change the bylaws, that that needs to be done in at the same time in the rules for the CCMSO. And then the resolutions at general meetings. Again, there is a majority rule, and this is... it's a quorum rule, and we've discussed it at some length in the interim report, and so it needs to be reflected. There is, however, in the rules, and that's what you find here as well, in the rules there is an issue with timelines. And so that's in Section 5 and in specifically Section 5.2 and Section 6. Say, because these are resolutions of the members, some in reaction to a council decision, there is a timeline, in one case of 14 days and in a second case in 7 days. Now, if you look at the proposal for staggered voting, it will be very, very difficult logistically to have a vote and organize a vote within 14 or even 7 days. So that might be an issue with staggered voting versus representation. So the logistics, and that's included in this document as well, some consideration. Especially with the electric vote. Then I think in other sections of the rules there are some issues with the quorum as well. Section 6, that is what I refer to, and that's a very important one. That's the ratification or veto of council decisions. Probably most CCTLDs are not aware it exists. And then 6.3, there is 10%. and it changes to rules again. This is where a quorum vote is relevant as well. And what you see here is with staggered with the voting, and that maybe we need to review and take this into consideration when we start discussing, say, one vote per territory or one vote per member. Say that the quorum, if you have, say, a second round, that could also mean just members, but something to consider. And as I said, I noted I sent you the wrong version, unfortunately. What I've done as well, I went through the other guidelines, and so I see this is. And I will resend that document at the end of this call. I've also identified some areas in the not in the rules, but in guideline documents. And there are specifically three guidelines which may be affected. One is the guideline on the CCNSO general meeting. Again, there is a section where there is a voting rule, and that's on resolution and adoption of resolutions and ratification of veto of council decisions. So that's, say, the resolution is a new one. Ratification or veto of council decisions is a copy of the section in the rules of the CCNSO. So that's the first one that needs to be changed and aligned with any changes of the bylaws. The second guideline, which is relevant, is the guideline for the selection procedure for the ICANN board seats 11 and 12. Now, if you look at this, you have to be aware of one thing. According to the bylaws, the board member is selected by the CCNSO council. What the CCNSO has done is set up a mechanism to almost direct the council how to select the board member, and there is a voting involved in this guideline. So this is more a voluntary rule for the CCNSO council, and which they have adopted to involve the CCNSO members in the selection of ICANN board members. So, and again, there are two sections in that guideline which are affected. One is the nomination procedure, and the second one is the election by the CCNSO members. As you don't have it in front of you, I advise you to read it on your way to San Francisco. And the final guideline which is affected is the guideline on the CCNSO Council election procedure. And this is the difference. This one is more or less driven by the ICANN bylaws, because, and it's a reflection of the ICANN bylaws. But there are some, say, procedural section which provide more detail. So that's what I have included in this one. So what I'll do is I'll resend this document, and so you can have a look at it. And that's more or less what I wanted to say about this, Hiro.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Do you have any questions at this moment?
No, my hi, it's Giovanni. My comment would be that I really would like to go through the document a bit more carefully. So as soon as we have the new draft circulated by Barta, I'll be happy to provide some inputs. But at the current stage, I don't feel myself comfortable to express anything because I didn't have time to read it carefully, and also I understand there is a new draft coming up. So I would suggest we wait a bit.
Yeah, definitely I agree with you. That's why I asked for questions, not comments. Okay.
Yeah.
So, since this is our first time to see this document, we need to read more carefully about this and discuss about that. So, how do we move forward from here or from the revised document sent by BART? So we need to clarify the solution space and discussion on the preferred solutions and so on. Is it correct?
Yes, but I've already included some references to the interim paper. And what you will see is probably, this is what I would suggest, is that the working group first will look at the interim paper and tries to resolve some of the outstanding issues with regard to the interim paper. Once this is clarified, you will see how it may impact the rules and guidelines. And probably it's a good thing, and I hope I captured this in this draft document, to circle back to the proposed bylaw recommendations to see how this works. Because, as I said, I think the best example is, for instance, the whole discussion of the vote per territory. Assume the working group will conclude one vote per territory. Then we have the different options how to implement it.
Right.
Now, and say what you will see as a result of the implementation, some of the rules may need to be changed, or some of the preferred options have a different impact on the rules than others. The best example I have, say, the timelines will be unfeasible or untenable if we go for a staggered voting. It's going to be very, very difficult to manage it.
Right.
So, and then the option is to propose either to extend the timelines, but that has impact on the efficiency and effectiveness of the CCNSO, or make it part of the choice to go for, say, a representative per country or per territory. And I think this is the type of discussion you'll need in San Francisco.
Okay.
Because they're very closely linked, these two documents. The interim report and this one. And all the choices made for the bylaws will directly impact the rules and guidelines.
Yes.
So what I'll do at closure of this call, I will resend the document, and now the correct version. I'm very sorry, it was a bit late last night. And I suggest that everybody who will be in San Francisco or the working group members go through it and read it in the context of the interim report and the proposed solution.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense?
Do you have Who? Who is it?
Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Any comments from others?
No.
If not, let's do so. So, Bob, thank you. Okay, so I think we've done all the agenda items. Yes, and AOB. During the San Francisco meeting, we are going to meet on Monday afternoon and on Thursday 9 to 10. So I want to know who will attend in person in San Francisco. I know Savas will be there, and who else will be there?
I'll be there, Hiro, Giovanni.
Giovanni, yes. Who else?
Yeah. Paulos, are you still there? Or has he dropped off?
Yes, I will not be going to San Francisco, so I will not attend in person, but I could be on remote.
Okay, thank you. Who else?
And there's nobody else on the call.
All right. Okay. So I'll ask this on the mailing list too. Okay, thank you. So our next meeting will be in San Francisco, the physical meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, I went through all the agenda items on my list. So any other topic from others?
Nope.
Is it confirmed the meeting will be on Monday in San Francisco?
Paulos, this is Bart. In principle, yes, but as I said, the agenda might shift due to the GEC board meeting. It is unclear whether the GEC and board, what day the GEC and the board will meet, and whether it will be a full day session. There is a rumor that the GAC and the board will meet on Tuesday and Thursday to continue their discussion of Brussels. If that is the case, then, say, we have two slots on the Tuesday agenda. One is in the morning and one is in the afternoon, and it might be... maybe it's an idea if the GAC CCNSO meeting is not taking place to use that time slot for the IDN session.
Okay. So when will we know? We'll know maybe sometime next week?
As soon as we know when the GAC and the board will meet, then we can confirm whatever we have as meeting. But so it may it may affect, say, the meeting of the working group with the CCNSO. It will not affect the working group meeting itself.
Okay, thank you. Any other question or comments? If not, thank you all. We can finish our meeting in 1 hour. So, bye-bye. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.